You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Last week, Pastor Fred got us kicked back into Colossians. He had started the series several months ago. We had seen some amazing things as we went through Colossians, and Pastor Fred kind of gave us a reminder of a few things about the church at Colossae. Remember, Colossae was a small town, maybe about 100 miles from Ephesus. It was a small town with a kind of a growing church, kind of like we're talking about in Nepal. Things hadn't been happening there, and just in the last few years, there had been a church plant. As a matter of fact, that church plant was an outgrowth of Paul's three-year ministry in Ephesus. So even while he was there in Ephesus, he was seeing little churches being planted, little groups of Christians that were rising up around the area. And the leader of that church there in Colossae was a man named Epaphras. And Epaphras was growing a little bit frustrated. There were some things going on in the church there at Colossae, and he reached out to Paul and said, "Paul, I need your help." He said, "We've got this ongoing false teaching, these false teachers that are undercutting the gospel. They're undercutting the deity, the lordship, the substantiality of Jesus Christ." Now, I stopped there and immediately, that sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? Those that would want to undercut, that would want to say things like this, "Well, he was a good man," or "he was a good teacher, but God, the Son of God," and they want to undercut the deity. So we see some similarities here. We'll go on and we'll see a few more similarities as we look. For example, we find that the church there in Colossae, the people were confused a little bit. They were spiritual, but not necessarily Christ-centered. I heard a pastor in this area, this is probably 7-8 years ago, but somebody was asking him about the state of this church and the state of his church and the state of things in this area, and he made this statement. And he said, "Well, I'll tell you this." He said, "You take that, our Gulf Coast area," he said, "it's a spiritual area, but it's not necessarily a Christian area. People are looking for things. People are hearing things. They're hearing these strange philosophies, and they're trying to almost incorporate these into what Scripture teaches. We know that we can't do that." That's what was going on there. Epaphras was frustrated, and he reached out to Paul. So what Paul does is he sits down and he writes this letter to the church at Colossae, and he begins to talk to them about the lordship of Christ. We see that in that first chapter, that Christ loves his church. Man, even the songs that we sang this morning, what a beautiful name it is, that he didn't want heaven without us, so he sent his Son so that heaven would come to us. What a beautiful thought that is, even as we talk about a beautiful name. He talked to them about this, that we as a church are to be centered in Christ, that everything we do should have its foundation, its center in Christ. Now, even as I say that, there might be some checks going around the room. Everything we do? Yeah. Everything we do should find its foundation. Does it fit in this relationship that I have with Christ? Does it work? Or does it detract from? Pastor Fred pointed this term out last week, a Jesus church. That Christ-centered church that finds everything, it's a Jesus church. And in that Jesus church, what we find is Jesus people. Jesus people. He started this out last week in this passage that we'll look at this morning, Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 through Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. And again, we see a chapter change, but this was a letter, remember. The chapters and verses were added later just to give us some ways to get to specific points so that we could reference it. But think of this as a letter that Paul is writing, okay? He's writing this letter and he's addressing some things. And in this letter, we find that the church is instructed. We're not left just to wander around. He doesn't come and say, "Okay, here's the good news. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Now, try to figure out how this whole thing works." Or even back up. He doesn't create us as individuals and then say, "Okay, now here's life. Figure it out." Man, we've just left Christmas time. And when those things need to be put together, I'm always glad there's instructions there. Because I'm not overly mechanical-minded. Those of you that have been on mission trips with me don't need to say amen or anything like that. I know I can basically carry block, and that's about it. But he gave us instructions. So we are instructed as a Jesus church. We're also energized. Man, we're energized. We're not just left without life to be listless. He came that we would have more abundant life. We are energized. And then finally, Pastor Fred ended with this: we are encouraged. So let's look at this overall passage that we're talking about, Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 through chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The passage as a whole says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." Wasn't planning this, but let me just say, are you maturing in Christ? Is growth happening on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? Or can you look back over a year and find yourself in the same place that you were a year ago? So that we can present everyone mature in Christ. "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy." We're energized in him. "Struggling with his energy," not my own. I don't have to make things happen. "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me." He powerfully works his energy within me. And then we move on and it says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged." We are encouraged in Christ and we encourage one another. Okay, and then here we get to our passage that we'll deal with today. "Being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. "For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." All week long, I've talked to people. I've got a brother who's kind of an accountability partner, who's kind of a mentor to me. And I'd mention it to Jenny and different ones that would say, you know, "Do you know what you're preaching on?" Well, yeah, we're following through with this passage. And I would say this. I would say it's a passage I've read plenty of times. But I said, once you get there and you focus on it, you see that there's so much meat in this one particular passage. Can I say this to you? We're going to find that about passage after passage after passage in Scripture. It's an opportunity for you to fan into flame, to get excited about Scripture. But we're going to see that there's so much meat here. As we read the beginning part of our passage there, chapter 2, it says, "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ." Knit together in love. What is he saying there? Well, here's the next thing that we find about the Jesus church. The Jesus church is included. All are included. Whosoever, anyone that will come, we are included. There's an inclusion that takes place. The second song Liz sang this morning talked about that he's given us the opportunity to be sons and daughters. We are included, and this is a big aspect of life for us all. We can go all the way back to the playgrounds when we were in elementary school and remember what a desire there was to be included, to be involved, to be a part of what's going on. Let me tell you what I mean. Comedians talk about it. We see it in movies. Nobody wanted to be picked last on the playground, did we? Nobody wanted to be picked last. We wanted to be a part of the group that was going on, whether it be kickball. There were those that were going to be picked first. There were those that were going to be picked last. I can remember back at Robert E. Lee in Satsuma, Alabama. We graduated about a month into elementary school from volleyball to some kind of war that was taking place on the playground. And one team was going to wipe the other team off the earth. And I can even remember the names of the guys that were leading it. Jimmy Galloway and Matt Cooper and Taff Edge. Even their names were cool. And we wanted to be a part of what's going on. Everybody wanted to be a part of what was going on there in the playground. And then you've always got that one that's smarter than everybody else, that while this is going on, they're over on the jungle gym trying to figure out the different engineering, and they become a CEO of a company later on and make us realize, wait a second, we were off mark from the start. But this can progress. this can progress into middle school, high school, to where we want to be the ones invited to the parties, not the ones left out. If we're not careful, it can progress into adulthood, and it can become almost a thing that drives us. I want to be included. I want to be in this in crowd. Pastor Fred uses the term, cliques are for kids. We outgrow that, but still, there is a desire to be a part. There's a difference here. We get past the cliques, where we're excluding, in other words, and we get to a place where we want to include and we want to be included. And here's what we find. The church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, is included. We can always, always have the confidence that we are included in Christ. There's a scripture that we know well. We've heard it. I don't know if I realized this before the last couple of weeks, but you can find it three different places in the Bible. It's almost like God saying to us, hey, I want you to get this. I want you to be aware of this. And he puts it in Joel. We find it in Joel. And then we find it again in Acts. And then we find it again in Romans 10:13, and it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He says, get this now. I'm going to say it again. I want to remind you what we said in Joel. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, will be included. And then again in Romans, he said, wait a second, you might not have got it the first two times. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone, you're not excluded because you've done something worse than the rest, or because in your mind you think it's worse, or because you've done more. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Think of the times you felt alone. Maybe those around you have felt alone. Maybe part of your family have felt alone. Maybe you felt neglected. Maybe somehow you felt uncared for. Maybe your parents weren't what parents ought to be. Maybe you had a spouse that wasn't what a spouse ought to be. Maybe your brothers and sisters weren't what brothers and sisters ought to be. And maybe somewhere along the way, someone lied to you, neglected you, mistreated you, and you've been carrying that ever since. Here's what we know. When it comes to Christ, we're included. We're not overlooked. We're not unloved. We're not ignored. He builds in us strong hearts because he includes us. He tells us over and over, you are included. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. It's like this. Jesus people, being part of a Jesus church, being a Jesus people, comes from being knit together, put together, loving each other, involving each other, because in Christ we are included. We are a part of his family. Look at this passage, Romans 8, verses 15 through 16. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. We're so included, he says, don't even fall back into this fear that you won't be. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We can call out, Daddy. We're so close to him. Again, in a bad situation, maybe that kid doesn't call out Daddy. Maybe it's just simply Father. But we see that closest of relationships where we call out to him, Abba, Father. And it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Aren't you glad to be part of the family of God? I mean, when you think about that all-knowing Creator, that all-powerful Creator, that's our Daddy. That's our Daddy. And you know what? My Daddy can beat your Daddy. My Daddy can beat your Daddy. But remember this. We are included by Jesus Christ, but then as the Jesus church, it becomes our task as a church, as believers, to love and include others. We talked about, as Pastor Fred teaches, cliques are for kids. So we don't get caught up in this, it's all about me. It's all about me enjoying. we begin to include others. We begin to get this message to others. To build love among ourselves, to build love among everyone, we don't neglect, we don't overlook, we don't ignore a single person. That's when we're knit together in love. That's when we're following what this scripture says. That's when we resemble what this verse describes. We're knit together in love. We may have the friendliest staff in the nation. And there's a reason for that. Pastor Fred points out regularly to us. There may be people that come through that door on Sunday morning, and the only encouraging word they hear all week is from us. He said, we should be out there greeting. We should be out there. But you know what? As a church, as a believer, as a part of the Jesus church, we should each be out there saying, hey, it's good to see you. It may be the only time that they hear it all week. They may have a bad situation at work, a bad situation at home, and finally they come in, and it's being included here that makes them knit together and a part of the family of God. Here's what we find in verse 2, that we are included not only as a body, but we're also included in the knowledge of the mystery of God. Let's put that verse back up there. We're included in the knowledge of the mystery of God. And this, that it's Christ that reveals God to men. If I could have sat down and said to Liz, Liz, sing this song, this song, this song, it wouldn't have been any better. And we didn't do that. But it's Christ, even as we just sang, that bridges the gap. It's Christ that reveals God to men. Being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. The mystery of God, which is Christ. When people look to Christ, they see God. They have a greater understanding of who God is, of what His character is. Once a person approaches God through Christ, now hear this, then God places His Spirit within that person. Now, you want to talk about inclusion? How do you get included more than Him placing His very Spirit inside of you? When we come to know Christ, His Spirit comes to reside within us. And God infuses strength. Talks about power. Then the power. Then you will have power. Assurance. Confidence. Confidence that we truly know we are adopted as His dear sons and daughters. Adopted as His own sons and daughters, as we saw in Romans. So that brings us to this. When we get that, when we have that Holy Spirit living in us and He begins to reveal these things to us, we are enriched. We're included. We see that we're included, but now we're enriched. That verse goes on to say that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now let's just stop and dwell on that. He's not compartmentalizing. He's not saying all the spiritual treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's not saying all the Holy Spirit fruit treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We're talking back to the greatest questions of creation, the greatest questions of where we came from, the greatest questions of science, the greatest questions of engineering, the greatest questions of medicine. All these great treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. That's where they lie. Notice that now. They lie in Christ. It even says they are hidden in Christ when you go back to the original transcripts. Now let's just bear with me as I continue to focus on this, and let's look at a little bit of common sense here. You know, they say, it's been said common sense isn't so common. But let's just look at a little bit of common sense here, because we'll find that this makes sense. If we could be absolutely sure, dead set strong on it, if we could be absolutely sure that our knowledge of God is accurate, then we would be strong, wouldn't we? If we didn't have any questions, if we could be absolutely sure, Not having those questions as we're dozing off at night or as we're first waking up in the morning. We would be strong, wouldn't we? This is the very glorious declaration that Paul gives us here. We can be sure. In fact, we have complete understanding through Christ. Only through Christ. We need not look elsewhere. Does that mean we don't study? Absolutely we study. But we need to know that our understanding comes through Christ. Christ is the revelation of God. Our assurance. This is how we are enriched. I know it's getting deep here. Stay with me just a second. Jesus is the very embodiment of all wisdom. He is the one person who lived out the truth, lived and never sinned. You with me here? He's the one, the only one that ever did this. So the wisdom of life, of how to live, is seen in Christ alone. In Him are all the treasures, the knowledge of practical day-to-day living, those questions that we have. Moms, when you've got those 4 or 5 kids running around and you're wondering, what do I do? That knowledge is found in Christ. I'm not just talking hypotheticals here. He's the very incarnation of understanding. Let's get to the practical understanding of what we're talking about here. He is the very incarnation of understanding. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. Now think about this. He's the creator. He's the sustainer of the universe. Therefore, it simply stands to reason that all truth and the facts of the universe, our very existence, are found in Him. I feel like this is still kind of floating a little bit. Let me give you an example. My kids, they've always been great at coloring and great at drawing. I was horrible. I look at my little 6-year-old girl Claire's coloring and I think, man, I still can't color that good. I know I'm telling you a lot of the things I can't do today, aren't I? But I've never been good. Thankfully, they get some great talents from their mom, and they color so beautifully, and now they draw so beautifully. But I will say that hasn't always been the case. I am, along with you, one of those parents who their kids would bring them some drawings, and you're looking at it, and, that's great. I see there's mountains, and there's an elephant, and there's a zebra, and there's 3 little pigs. No, Daddy. That's our house. And that's you, and that's Mommy, and that's the 3 of us. What's my point? My point is they created that. They can tell me every specific little thing that's on that page. I'm seeing it, maybe for the first time, and I'm seeing it clouded and don't really have a complete understanding myself. But they can explain it to me. They can tell me, yeah, that's our house, and that little round thing right there that has 1 straight side is a window. And that little crooked thing over there, that's the beam that's holding up the house. They can tell me every specific thing about it. God created the universe. God created us. And He has complete knowledge and understanding. We are enriched when we follow Him. Wisdom and understanding are hidden in Christ. And know this, because that hidden can trip us up a little bit too. It's not hidden from us. It's hidden for us. Wisdom and knowledge are hidden for His Jesus church, for His Jesus people. Look at Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. It says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has been His counselor? Or who has given Him a gift that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever. The depth of His riches. The depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God. And it's available to us so that we're enriched. But know this, not everyone seeks it. Even back then, not all were looking for it. Some were getting put aside. Therefore, many were blinded. Maybe they argued against it. It was happening then, even as we see it now, that attack on truth. So here's what Paul was encouraging them to be. Look at that last part of the verse, starting with verse 4. He says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see, look at this, your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. The firmness of your faith in Christ. We live now in many similarities again the way that they lived then. We're plausible. This age of religious pluralism. We hear these things where Christ's lordship is deemed irrelevant by religious groups that believe one religion is just as good as the other. We're told things like this, where you're being so exclusionary. You're being so hateful. We hear these terms regularly, don't we? Even describing this church that is included. Let me point out another thing to you, a little practical thing. If we begin to tell people that every way is okay, that's exclusionary, because then they're not going to find the truth and they're not going to have the opportunity to be included. There's a constant attack on the doctrine and the Word of God that we find in the Bible. Others want to bash it as antiquated and old-fashioned. Again, none of these things that make sense. Almost making the argument that if we had something new, oh, we'd be in good shape then. But they bash it as antiquated and old-fashioned and out of style and not in line with what's correct today. That somehow some are mistreated or left out. Again, they were experiencing this very thing in the church at Colossae. It was new to them. The very gospel was new to them. But you had these false teachers that were coming around with these new philosophical ideas, these new, as Pastor Fred refers to it, homespun theologies, homespun doctrines, that maybe they sound good, but then you find, wait a second, that doesn't line up to what Christ is teaching us. So Jesus is Lord was the church's beginning confession, and it remains the test today of authentic Christianity. Jesus is Lord. That's where the attack is. Jesus is Lord. That's where our strength and our confession is. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is our Lord. He is our King. This acknowledgement, this inclusion and enrichment that we talked about braces us to withstand this onslaught of false teaching that enters in maybe into our schools. Maybe we bring it into our homes through the things that we watch on TV. Hey, we can't discount when we're raising children that we're bringing in movies, bringing in teachers that are putting these little hints. Billions and billions of years we evolved. And they're hearing it, and they're hearing it over and over. It's like water tapping on a dam. What happens when it finally breaks? But helps us to stand against the false teaching, the trials that we face. There are those trials that we go through, and it rocks us to the core, and it makes us wonder, God, are you really real? God, are you really real? He's not intimidated by those questions. He has the answer. And then even the temptations that come against us. You see, we're in a battle. We see it in Scripture. We hear it preached. Sometimes I wonder if the way that we live, the way that I go about things, do I really understand that I'm in a battle for my very life, for my very eternal life? We're in a battle for our lives, for our eternal lives, for our children's lives and eternal lives. And it's a battle that we can't afford to lose. And these false teachers, these trials, these temptations come against us and pound on us and pound on us. The Jesus Church is built through the inclusion, through the enrichment to withstand, to resist the seduction and deception. Seduction? Yeah, that when you go back to the original Greek, that word delude means to deceive, to mislead, to cheat you. There are false teachers looking to cheat you out of what God has in store for you, to mislead you from that path that He's laid out for you, that plan, that will that He has laid out for you. How does the seduction and the deception take place? He says, by plausible arguments, fine-sounding arguments, things that sound good, things that maybe even sound fun, things that when we hear it, we say, well, I kind of like that better than the other way. And maybe Scripture talks about their itching ears, and we're looking for a different way to find it. Words that are persuasive, appealing, and maybe even eloquent. Maybe they've got it so refined, they've practiced it so many times, and they begin to seduce us with those eloquent words. So here's what we see. Here's what Paul told the church at Colossae. Here's what God would tell us. When you see some idea, some position, some philosophy, some religion, some doctrine, some belief out there that is presented, don't let yourself be pulled away. Don't let yourself be pulled away, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Attacked by false teaching, even as Paul was writing to them, but they were responding like a victorious army. You see, we use this word entrenched. It's a military term. We think about the entrenchments. We've seen the stories of what would happen over in Europe during the World Wars and how they would build their entrenchments and how there would be a front because they recognized there was a battle, there was an enemy that was advancing against them, and they were preparing so that they would be entrenched. That's the battle that we're in. That's how they were responding as a victorious army, maintaining their discipline, holding their order, and standing firm. That's how we are to stand, and we can, as a Jesus church that is entrenched, holding our position, holding firm to the glorious gospel, that gospel that is unto salvation, that leads to salvation. Look at Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 14. As we begin to wrap this up. It says, we seek to attain the stature of the fullness of Christ so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine. No longer being just tossed around here and there. Every new thing that comes along, we grab onto it. Or sometimes this may be even more dangerous. We grab onto a piece of it. And we just kind of add it to our briefcase. We add it to our understanding. There's nothing in Scripture to back it up. But we add it along, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning. You know, we think of it as friendly fire sometimes. Oh, they're just a little off. They're just a little off. It's okay. I like this other stuff that they teach. They're wolves in sheep's clothing, Scripture says. And they come with human cunning, looking for the opportunity to deceive. And then by craftiness and deceitful schemes. We pick up a book. We like the cover. We like some of the things it said. We get something and it doesn't bear witness. And we think, I'm going to overlook that. We don't look at it as cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. But when we realize we're in a battle, when we're entrenched, we begin to protect the doctrine, as Scripture says to do. We begin to protect that we've been taught. Liz is coming. She's going to sing. Maybe you felt excluded. Maybe you felt neglected. Maybe you haven't felt knit together. Know this, the Church of Jesus Christ is knit together and included. Maybe you feel like you just don't have a complete understanding of all that Christ has to offer you or even what it's all about. All that knowledge is found in Christ. And the beginning place is Christ is Lord. That's that beginning place, is that declaration, that willingness to give your life and say, Christ, I step out in faith. I don't have complete understanding yet, but I step out in faith and I trust you. And I look to find that understanding in you. Maybe there's been some things that you've allowed in that have been added in to what you were taught, to the truth that you were taught. And maybe it's got you confused. It's time to be entrenched, to dig in, to hold the line in good order like a military, solid, firm, gaining victory over these false doctrines and false teachers.